Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome you again to the broadcast and our closing message relating to the rapture of the saints. It has been a deep and a great joy of heart and soul to bring the truth relative to the rapture of the saints of God. But may I close our comments and appreciation of this wonderful truth by bringing before the hearts and the consciences of all of us the responsibility that certainly belongs to us in view of this momentous event. May I repeat some of the truth that we have mentioned? The commencement of the church began at Pentecost, on that day when the descent of the Holy Spirit took place, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Without any question of doubt, that was the birthday of the church. But we repeat that the consummation of the church and its earthly pilgrimage will be the departure at the rapture. We quote the words again that we have been dwelling upon in the past week. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. May I repeat, the commencement of the church, the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the book of the Acts, but the consummation of the church in its pilgrimage upon the earth at the rapture. I would remind my listeners that the church in its composition is not a building of material substance, neither is it any ecclesiastical system or organization formed by man, but it is composed entirely of what the Word of God declares to be living stones, believers in the Lord Jesus, living stones in a spiritual house, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. They are human beings who have been born again and have received the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior during this present age. So we value the truth. Every believer in the Lord Jesus belongs to that church. And when the rapture takes place, it will be the sudden departure of the church, which can take place at any moment, as we have noted, but it brings responsibility. And I would be very remiss if I closed the subject without bringing before our consciences the responsibility toward this great event. First of all, let me quote from Scripture some of the responsibilities that are solemnly the responsibility for a believer. My fellow believer, though the rapture of the saints is an event for which you and I may with eagerness be looking in anticipation, as well as longing to be delivered out of this present evil world, yet let us not fail to realize there is responsibility until that event takes place. First of all, the believer should be steadfast. From our 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we have been in the study of this momentous event, we would quote the words of Paul at the end of chapter 15, verse 58. My beloved, after even reciting the wonderful event and the transformation and the glorious thing it is going to be, Paul does not fail to apply the truth of it in responsibility when he says in verse 58, therefore, because of the event, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My beloved fellow believer, let you and I realize, though we are looking with anticipation for this glorious event of our Lord to come for us, in the meantime, may God help us to be steadfast. Not bedfast, steadfast, always abounding, not bounding, but abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord Jesus. My fellow believer, I put in the plea to your heart as well as to mine own, in view of the departure that will be so sudden at the rapture, may you and I today be steadfast in our labor for the Lord. But then we have another scripture we would like to present from 2 Peter chapter 3, where the beloved apostle writes some other words regarding the responsibility of the believer. Peter speaks of that wonderful event that is yet to take place, bringing us to that great and glorious new creation, the new heavens and the new earth ultimately. But notice words of exhortation as we read in the third chapter of 2 Peter the words that he has written to say. Seeing then, I read verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We are not only responsible as believers to be steadfast, we are responsible to be godly. Oh, may I put in an earnest plea to my conscience and to yours, my fellow Christian. Let the godliness of our life be motivated by this blessed hope. Did not John the Apostle write so appropriately, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure? This blessed hope of the rapture should have a provoking effect upon our testimony in godliness of life, making us more holy like our beloved Lord. Be godly. My fellow believer, there's no need to apologize for godliness, but there can be great need of apologizing when we may be ungodly. So I would indeed pray, setting before your heart and mine own the responsibility of godly living as being the result of enjoying this precious and blessed hope. Then James has written some words we would like to read. Not only that we should be steadfast as Paul has written, not only that we should be godly as Peter has written, but even the Apostle James writes, in view of the coming of the Lord, may I read in verse 7, particularly of James chapter 5, as James speaks of the coming of the Lord, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient. My beloved, this may be sometimes a difficulty. How oftentimes it's in our impatience we say, Lord Jesus, we wish you would come. And there is the natural tendency for that on many occasions of testing and trial. But may the Holy Spirit remind us to be patient. And may the Spirit of God direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. So may I just very briefly, many other responsibilities could be given, but here are three. My fellow believer, the joy of the rapture, the thrill of it that sets before your heart and mine a longing and an anticipation, let us not fail to realize it brings before us responsibilities today. First, to be steadfast. Second, to be godly. Third, to be patient. But then there is a solemn responsibility for the unbeliever. Oh, may I quote the words of the Lord Jesus again. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. May I repeat the words again? Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Many years ago, I would say fully over 50 years ago, following the preaching of the Word of God on the coming of the Lord Jesus in the city of Miami, one evening after the service, a brother at the door said to me, "Brother Bram, all I can tell you the hour that the Lord's coming." Well, I looked at him very keenly, wondering what he would say, and said, "Go ahead, tell me." And then he answered, "In an hour that you think not." Well, I said, "I've got to agree, brother. My beloved friend, I'm saved. I don't know the hour. No man knows the hour. Even the Lord Jesus refused to speak of it, saying it was only known by the Father above. But in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh." My beloved, unsaved one, you wouldn't want to be found unsaved when he comes, would you? Oh, may I again repeat, as we did in our preceding message at the close, how as an unbeliever you can be ready. First, you must acknowledge yourself to be a lost, guilty sinner before God. Romans 3:23, Isaiah 53:6 tells it clearly. All have sinned, all have gone astray. Second, you must acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And third, you must by faith accept, receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. For as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power, the right, the privilege to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, my beloved unsaved friend, make Christ your Savior. Be with us in that glorious event, the rapture of the saints, when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. My unsaved listener, will you be with us? Lord Jesus, bless thy truth. Sanctify the message we have given through the week of that blessed coming event for which we long and wait. In His precious and worthy name, we ask it all to be done for His glory in saving sinners and blessing saints. Amen.